Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Good evening. We're just going off the rails already. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the Valentine's Weekend Edition. We're having some problems getting the music up and going. It's more of a computer update issue, which is kind of the bane of our existence. Wouldn't you say, JT?
Completely.
Yeah. People keep updating stuff and it keeps messing with our chi. That's exactly what's happening.
Totally.
It's weird.
I updated this computer earlier, well before the show. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I played some stuff and it was no problem. Totally forgot to test the Mixler side of things.
Ah, yes, yes. Anyway, so forgive us for not having our dramatic opening, which we love to do, of course, because we're dramatic like that. But unfortunately, tonight it was not meant to be. However, the show is meant to be. We're here, and there's nothing you can really do about it, except for turn us off, apparently. So tonight, it's not a Valentine's-themed show, but as I said, we're all about the love tonight. And, quote, the love is not anything weird, so get your mind out of the gutter, Philip. Anyway, the week's been pretty good for me. How about you, JT? What's going on?
Well, I took the week off of work.
So it was terrible, I'm sure.
Partially, I was supposed to do some other projects around the house and didn't really get to all of them. I got stuck on a different project and became a handy-dandy, you know, repair guy at home.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Your wife's like, he's carrying things around. It's amazing.
Yeah.
She's impressed by your strength.
It must be.
I think that's part of it. But I have to say, your bathroom looks quite splendid now.
Well, thank you.
With the work you've done,
that.
Yeah, I'm really impressed.
Hey, I got my cow. Sorry, I had to test. I'm sorry.
Of all the things to test with, especially when we're talking about a bathroom. All right, JT. Okay, so now we've got sounds. Is that sound officially?
We have sounds. Okay. I have my sounds.
We
could go into this, but we don't need to.
Yeah, no, we don't have to anymore.
We don't have to. Okay.
People know. Okay. People are already leaving quickly. All right.
Just dropping off. Just jumping right off.
By the way, I'm just going to throw this out. Valentine's Day, quote, the love, I basically think is a marketing ploy. But if we can't talk about love in reality,
yeah,
and whatever that means, right, I think poetry is a place we can do it. Valentine's Day, in my opinion, is made to, you know, market stuff and sell stuff. It's kind of ridiculous. However, the actual emotion, the experience, the human experience of love, poetry, I think, captures it very beautifully.
It does. It really does.
However, it doesn't exactly matter unless you want to call about, you know, and share something, which we would be very happy to hear. I'm going to be reading some famous love poetry this evening. Hopefully my voice does not give out. Otherwise, I'll be reading it like it'll sound really creepy.
Yeah. Maybe you should just do it. Right? Just... Here's the poem, and
right into that voice.
I should read it. I should read it like I'm playing one of the witches in Macbeth.
Oh,
yeah,
that'd be
really the way to go. All right, so we're going to get ready to go into our first segment. However, I'm going to drop down the first two rules, or the only two real rules here. One, no hate speech. We're not doing that.
Nope.
It's all about the love, remember. And number two, no word porn. So if it's artistic, we understand. It's you know, it should be something that adds to the piece, adds to the artistic merit of the piece. If you're just going off and using, you know, kind of profane graphic stuff, just you know, for the hell of it, it doesn't really add art, and it's just kind of something that we might cut off. We try to keep things kind of PG-13 because we have kids that listen, but we understand it's art, guys. It's art. This is not you know, family night TV necessarily. All right, but those are the only two rules. So we're gonna get ready to go. First segment. We need five unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. We need the first five to give us a call.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And that is the Professor Lenny C. I got to be honest, when he says when you suck, nothing can save you. I almost never think he said the word suck. And then I kind of go, really? Is that? No, not really.
No.
No. Anyway. Anyway. All right. So we have five great callers lined up. I'm actually really excited about the lineup. We haven't been, we haven't had this kind of lineup in a while. However, yeah. I am going to read a short romance piece before we do so. Okay.
All right.
All right. See, I'm remembering. I'm getting a little bit better at this.
Okay.
Excuse me. If I'm coughing, don't worry. It's just because I'm dying. By the, I have to tell you this before I do anything.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of kind of dropping some existential angst on the eighth graders. And so now they'll walk by, you know, this won't be the class I have. It'll be the class I had when we did Hamlet.
Right.
And they'll walk by me in the hall and I'll have these two, you know, 14-year-old girls go, "We're all going to die someday." And I go, "Well, that's true, actually. You know, that's," and every other teacher in earshot is completely creeped out by this conversation. It's a complete understanding. Of course we're going to die.
Right.
And that's what makes things beautiful.
Right.
Right. However.
When
they don't explain that, it's kind of weird. Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
This one, incredibly famous. I'll tell you who wrote it after. She walks in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes, thus mellowed to that tender light which heaven to gaudy day denies. One shade the more, one ray the less, had half impaired the nameless grace which waves in every raven tress or softly lightens o'er her face, where thoughts serenely sweet express how pure, how dear their dwelling place. And on that cheek and o'er that brow, so soft, so calm, yet eloquent, the smiles that win, the tints that glow, but tell of days in goodness spent, a mind at peace with all below, a heart whose love is innocent. And that's She Walks in Beauty by Lord Byron, quote unquote, George Gordon. All right. So that kicks us off. Lord Byron, an interesting character. Major gout problems. Major gout problems. To dress in a turban with a foot, I believe it was amputated.
Okay.
And still be known as a great seducer of women. That guy had a game. Just throwing that out there. All right. Let's move on.
All right.
Now, I want to introduce our first caller. She's someone that was is such a dear friend of the show, and she would call in for so many years, actually. She would call in, and recently it's kind of dropped off a bit more, but we're so happy to have her, and what an appropriate kind of weekend to have her here. Let's bring on the line Ellie. Ellie, are you there?
I am. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing very, very well. How are you? I haven't heard your voice in a while.
I know. It's good to be back.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad you called.
I think we've got a double talk or something.
If you're listening to the show, turn down
what you're listening to the show on. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Turn it off. I forgot.
You're okay.
I'm going to turn it off right now. That's what's wrong.
It's okay. We get into... we get into the habit of it, and then eventually, it's like a bike sometimes. They say once you learn, you're never going to fall off. Trust me, that is not the case. Especially if you had a bunch of wine before you tried the second time. Oh. Ellie.
I'm here.
Are you back?
I can't get... Yeah, there you go. It sounds good.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. Ellie, I'm going to give you the stage. I'm going to let you read your piece of work, and then we'll talk after, okay?
Sounds wonderful.
All right, here you go.
Okay. This poem is called Love's Ancient Passion. My love for you is an ancient love. As for eons, the sun has risen on that one perfect spring morning. With the purity of earth's fragrance, that transcends all worldly thoughts and goes beyond the heart's mere beating as feeling of human needs. Out of the ashes, new birth. This love is reborn from pain that it no longer remembers and holds you tenderly with cherish. A love so full and so beyond that oceans roaring, pounding with passions old upon the sands of eternal time and never ending are as nothing or everlasting. Love's stillness of a snowy early morn pervades the soul with deep warmth of old fires, quiet flames of joy. Love that will last above the beyond of time's immortal passing. You are my beloved, sanctioned by He who created all bliss. And yes, I shall love you all the morrow. In all your frailty do I hold dear, for this essence that is you is tender and gentle flame of love. And so on this love shall fire burn bright in the hearts of our children. And they will one day know this love was an ancient love beyond all earthly days or mere mortal understanding.
Wow, Ellie. It's so nice to have you reading again, and it's we've missed your poetic voice and just your voice so much, and this was so nice to have.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's just what it feels like coming home.
Well, good.
It's good to be back. Yeah.
It's good to have you. Do you think we'll be able to get you to maybe call back during the return engagement segment at the end of the show?
I will try to do that. I will.
Okay. Do your best. But if not, I understand. And we'll, hopefully we'll start hearing from you a little bit more. If you get time, I understand things get busy. So
I will. It's important. It's like the gift will not be still.
Wonderful. Ellie,
love
it's,
you guys.
It's so much joy for us to hear you. So love you too. And thank you so much.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless, Ellie. Bye. You know, it's always been crazy when Ellie first wasn't calling in for a while. I remember us kind of saying it doesn't feel like the show without Ellie calling in. But I'll tell you, who else really makes it feel like home for us is our next caller. It is Dennis calling all the way from Michigan. Dennis, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing wonderful, I believe. Love is in the air tonight.
That's right. Also, there is some incense.
Oh, yes. Yes, and always welcome. it's so good to hear Ellie back. And,
I know.
Another fine read by her. She writes a lot of delicate work, and it is appreciated so much.
Absolutely. Agreed.
All right.
So what do you have for us? I'm going to let you do it, and then we'll talk to you about it after. I think it's kind of nice to give you the stage. So,
all right, that's what I'll do, and thank you so very much.
Of course.
The poem I have for you tonight is a cover poem. I'm going to read the poem first and then tell you the author's name. So the title of the poem tonight is Lovers on Fire. I'm a lover on fire, lighting up the sky, lighting up the night. I'm a lover on fire. Don't know what she's thinking, but I'm sure it's all right. The red, the green explode over our heads like million sparks of truth in the land of the dead, two lovers on fire. She holds me close and I'm on fire, but I can't breathe all the while. Her lips are moist and soft to the touch. In the back of my ear, it's just the night and us. The red and green explode over our heads like a million sparks of truth. In the land of the dead, two lovers on fire. End of poem. That's a poem by Michael Amade from his book, The Fall.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's Dennis, thank you for reading that. You know, it's funny. I was telling JT when you were reading that, I said, you know, I wrote that when I was like 16 years old. And it's so funny to hear someone reading it now. It still it makes me cringe, you know.
My reading was that bad?
No, okay. Not the reading. It's not the reading. Trust me. That was great. You actually, I think your reading improved it. So thank you for that.
That's an interesting a thought. Lover's Lane in a cemetery.
Well, that's an actual, that's a song. I'll see if I can find it and send it to you.
All right.
But
that sounds good.
I appreciate
it. That is one poet that is often ignored. But although we know him very well, I think we had to pull his stuff out and share it every once in a while.
Well, I really appreciate that, Dennis. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
I didn't expect that one.
Well, that's your Valentine's surprise.
Hey. Well, that's a pleasant one. Usually when I hear someone offer a Valentine's surprise, I get a little nervous. But that one I'm fine with.
I hear that. All right. There are plenty of poets waiting in the wings. So I'm going to step aside. I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thank you so much. That was sure cringeworthy to me, I'll tell you. I'm sitting there listening to this thing going, it's like looking at, I never wore braces, but it's like looking at myself in the, you know, middle school pictures, you know, later on going, oh my gosh, that looked painful.
Looked like that? Whoa.
Whoa. It's like, I looked fantastic in middle school. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody ever said that. Anyway.
I know I never did.
Although I bet you did. Something tells me that you did. I don't know why.
Looked fantastic?
Well, you know, fantastic's a weird word for that kind of thing.
No, I know when I looked good, and that was my senior year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're like, and it was all downhill from there.
All downhill from there.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
My hair was coming in correctly. It was great.
Man, I started losing my hair at like 22.
Oh, man.
And, you know, what a pain.
Yeah, it can be.
But whatever. Hey, I'm fine.
It's good.
I'm proud of my genetics. Anyway, that's something you say every day. All right, so let's go to Florida, the part of the country that we do all our thinking with.
Wow.
To Diane. Diane, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you guys?
Doing very, very well. Have you heard? I've heard that in a nearby state, there is an orange crocodile that's been found. Do you know anything about this?
No, I have not heard anything, but I'll look it up.
Yeah, to me, it sounds like a bunch of nonsense, but, you know.
I've been finding more and more of that, especially, I can't even recall, but there was somebody who supposedly took a picture of like a squirrel or something traveling on an alligator down here.
Yes.
Okay.
It was one of these fake news, and it was a total fake thing. But it was like in the news, and it was like all over Facebook, and it was a really cute picture. Showed like some little squirrel sitting on top of an alligator, taking along for the ride, and it was all fake news. So I'm sure that I'm sure we've got orange alligators down here.
You know,
somewhere.
I've been to Florida.
I do have spray paint.
It's a little. See, that's what I'm thinking. You get someone in South Carolina who's like, you know what? I'm bored. Get out the orange spray paint. We're gonna make some news.
Hey, you know that graffiti that they do in the cities?
You know, well, the only reason that I'm thinking about this is that, and I know the way that mindset works is because we don't use those exact words, but there are so many times where I'm sitting across from JT and I'm like, you know, JT, we should do this. And he's like, let's do it.
Yeah, and it's about that level of orange spray paint to...
I remember
having
take photos and we'll all write odes to it and read them on WPOM.
Well, I remember having a friend. So a friend of mine who's a lawyer was, and she's known me forever. She was sitting next to me, and when I'm having a conversation, I'm just throwing out ideas and laughing. And the thing to another friend of mine, and she's sitting next to me the whole time, she's going, no, major liability problems. I'd say something else. Nope, that wouldn't be illegal. Nope, we're good. And I'm suddenly like, man, I kind of need you to follow me around, though. I feel like I'm just a human. Like I'm just causing, I'm just teetering the line here. Yeah, anyway.
And she's looking at the liability of everything.
Well, I am one big walking liability.
I've got two poems. But I thought I would read the shorter one.
Okay.
They're both kind of not valid. Well, one is actually about Valentine, but never mind. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I've had a hectic week and my brain is going like 100 miles a minute.
I understand.
I hope my mouth doesn't follow. I'm sorry, guys. I just feel like I'll just cut you off there.
Oh, no. Not at all.
You're okay. You're okay.
Okay. Anyway, this is called the Equation of Entanglement. And it's about an orange alligator that met a cute little squirrel. I'm just kidding. The Equation of Entanglement. I see you in dreams, uncertain still about who you are. Are you from the past or the soon someday to materialize future? Or are you some figment of the imagination simply representative of a quantum dynamic representing an apex of love, engendered from too many romance novels, engorged on in a misbegotten youth, where time was squandered like it was chocolate candy bars stolen from God's candy store. Inhabiting an imagination representative of what I read in the news, scanning to see if I will find you there. I look to find a point of obsession, drawing a line through perpendicular energy forces, where I observe portents in algorithmic numbers, a binary or octocode, formatted for completion in this or perhaps another lifetime. The descriptor is yin and yang. The decryptor is lover balance. Or perhaps something we cannot yet define, the equation of entanglement permutated through the rhythm of poetry, said the spider to the fly. I look for you in the everyday faces I walk among, somehow believing I will know you when I see you, forgetting that what we see is only a mirrored reality of our own imagined reality, this face in a crowd, this high-end yield that I believe in. But is belief enough? In dreams over the ether, I thought I had found you, but that was an imposter. A person of no consequence except in self-destruction. Which begs another question. Do we destruct so that we may meet that which saves us, or do we reconstruct after destruction in order to remake ourselves in a better image that others may need? All in all, these questions remain unanswered, unimportant in their own right until the day we meet, except that I will look for you and in the process find beauty in art, song, words written to those we meet along the way. And in the end, if the final equation turns out to be a big fat zero, perhaps that will not matter, since it is the journey that is the most important equation that matters and not the final destination. And so.
Good job, Diane. Now, I'm not coughing as a comment. I'm coughing because I have to cough. Diane, that was I enjoyed that.
No, actually, I'm coughing too. I apologize.
Are you?
I don't know if you can hear that little bit of hoarseness in my voice. I have been talking nonstop, it seems like, for 5 days, and I still have tomorrow to get through. I've had more conversations this week with people through work.
Oh, really?
It just seems like the phones have not stopped. It's been a really crazy week.
Well, I was laid out sick for a few days this week, and I'm just, you know, I sound like Doc Holliday, but I don't have anywhere near the gunfighting skills.
Good.
So, by the way, when you were reading, I was listening, but I was inspired to write a short poem. Do you mind? Can I read it to you? And I'm actually not very happy about how this turned out at the very end, but here we go. A young squirrel, young to love in the game of hearts, became pen pal with a crocodile on death row for the crocodile arts. But when she helped him escape, he was wearing bright orange. This poet has backed himself into a corner because, damn it, nothing rhymes with orange.
I bet Philip could come up with something. No.
I'm sure he could. Okay. Philip, I am giving you the challenge. Find something actually that rhymes with orange.
Ask Titus. Titus is the rhymer.
Oh, well, that's true. Yes, they're both cunning linguists.
Exact. All right.
All right.
I'm going guys go for now.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Diane.
We'll see you. Okay, we'll see you then. Thank you,
guys. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
All right. Okay.
All right. Now, by the way, no, Philip, I'm looking in the chat room. Expunge does not rhyme with orange. All right. Anyway.
Expunged?
Expunge, not expunged.
Oh.
Lozenge, orange, off rhyme. Expunge. Yeah, I know it's an off rhyme.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, we're just going to keep going. Let's go to Philip.
No, we're not going to Philip.
No, wait, not Jim. I meant Jim in my head. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. I'm sorry. Jim, how are you?
I'll be a huckleberry.
I'll be a huckleberry. You know, he's buried not far from here.
That's right.
Doc Holliday in Glenwood Springs, Colorado.
But Val Kilmer is still very much alive.
Unfortunately. No, actually, I really like Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
I really do. Actually, he's going through a bout of pretty serious cancer right now, actually. Yes, he is. He is. I heard he was a pain in the ass when he was making that movie, too. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that movie myself. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Fair enough. Anyway, so Jim, what's been going on this week? How are you?
I'm doing okay. Cold's getting a little bit better.
That's good. Good to hear.
We had snow yesterday.
Yeah. I was wondering about that. You guys are really, are you guys going to be getting really hit hard this weekend, or what do you think?
I'm hoping not.
Yeah, me too.
I don't mind the snow, but I would prefer if we don't get a lot of it.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Because today, it's getting to the part of the year where the days, it warms up, so it melts everything, and then the temperature drops at night, so all that turns to ice.
Yeah. Yeah, we.
I don't know about the rest of the country, but we have a thing called black ice.
Don't be racist.
You don't know it's icy, and you just drive along, and you start to skid all over the place.
Oh yeah, we have it.
We had it too. We had that just last week, right?
Yep. During the fog. Yeah.
Really nasty. Yeah.
Well, it's not fog. It's just that, like, on the road, and it's like you don't know. There's ice.
It was in the fog was there and the ice. So it was the fog where you're like, oh, it's just fog. And then you're like, I can't stop. And that was the black ice.
For us. Yeah. For us. Yeah.
Well, that got awkward. No. All right, Jim, I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after the poem, okay?
Okay.
All right.
This one, it's a cover of Ogden Nash's The Trouble with Women is Men. A husband is a man who, 2 minutes after his head touches the pillow, is snoring like an overloaded omnibus. Particularly on those occasions when between the humidity and the mosquitoes, your own bed is no longer a bed, but an insomnibus. And if you turn on the light for a little light reading, he is sensitive to the faintest gleam. But if by any chance you are asleep and he wakeful, he is not slow to rouse you with the complaint that he can't close his eyes. What about slipping downstairs and freezing him a cooling dish of pistachio ice cream? His touch with a bottle opener is sure, but he cannot help you get a tight dress over your head without catching 3 hooks and a button in your kosher. Nor can he so much as wash his ears without leaving an inch of water on the bathroom linoleum. But if you mention it, you evoke not a promise to splash no more, but a mood of deep melancholia. Indeed, each time he transgresses, your chance of correcting his faults grows lesser because he produces either a maddeningly logical explanation or a look of martyrdom, which leaves you instead of him feeling the remorse of the transgressor. Such are husbandly foibles, but there are moments when a foible ceases to be a foible. Next time you ask for a glass of water, when he brings it to you, you have a needle almost threaded. Instead of setting it down, he stands there holding it out to you. Just kick him fairly hard in the stomach. You will find it thoroughly enjoyable. End of poem.
Yeah, very nice, man. Good read, too.
Yeah. So we figured the other side of Valentine's Day.
Yeah. There's a. Oh, speaking of the other side of Valentine's Day, do you mind if I tell you a hilarious failure story from my past on Valentine's Day? This isn't about romance though. This is about me promoting something for a radio station. So I'm running a radio station right in Colorado Springs, big station, one of the top rated in the city. So we decide we're going to throw this big Valentine's Day extravaganza right at this big, you know, country club. We're going to throw all this stuff, and I mean country as in country music club.
Yeah.
And we get there, we're promoting the hell out of it, and nobody shows up.
Oops.
Nobody. Right? And so finally the DJ who's there is outside with the microphone, and he's like, "Well, we got to make it sound like there's something going on here." So he starts doing a live interview, right? Where I'm like, he's talking live, and this girl comes walking up. He goes, "Oh, here's someone walking up right now. What brought you out here tonight?" And she goes, "Actually, I left my ID here the other night. I'm coming to pick it up." The most epic promotion failure I have ever had in my life, Jim. And it was on Valentine's Day. I think it was 2008. Yeah, it was pretty bad. All right, Jim, appreciate the read, man. Are you going to be calling back during the return engagement?
Not sure yet.
All right, well, I hope so. We always love hearing from you. And appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
Welcome. Thank you.
All right. Glad you're feeling better. Talk to you later. All right. And that was Jim calling all the way from Pennsylvania, not Philip.
That's
as
right.
As I almost said.
It was so weird, man.
Excuse me. Hey. All right. So now we're going to travel across the ocean, down through the waves a little bit, just to drag our toes in the Atlantic, back up. And down to the UK to speak to Titus, who is, you know, Skype is taking its time.
There we go.
Hello, Titus. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. Well, lots of love in that atmosphere of yours.
There's so much love in the atmosphere. I can't tell where it starts and where it ends.
Well, when you said Ellie is on, I thought, wow, this is brilliant. You know, right. There's quite a few of the ones that have been here a long time. Yes, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you're definitely among those as well. We're so happy to have you every time you call. So thank you again.
Very nice of you, but I'm just joining the party like any other.
Hey, that's how we feel too.
Yes. Well, you know, the sonnet, I think it was designed to, especially in love, you know, it's 14 lines. That's all you need to say. It's virtually telling you, don't say too much and don't say too little. I think the sonnet is perfect for rhyme poetry, so that's what I've got tonight.
Wonderful.
It's called Faith in Ever Covenant. My love for you exceeds beyond demur, old-fashioned in the sense that to secure support, our souls whose heartedly allure, inviting with no doubt, whose vouch ensure that both are duly bound by love and cure. Thy noble deeds be affluent in your, participate, invigorated more, shalt know that to excite its growth ensure, how stable our relationships procure from any insignificance, mature enough to be enamored as is your, true purpose for my being not obscure, to that put the promised oath of the de jure is absolute enchantment, faithful, pure. That's all I have to say.
I think that's very, very nice, Titus. Thank you. And I think you're right. A sonnet is perfectly designed to convey those kinds of emotions. I was telling someone about playing bass the other day and, you know, playing four strings versus six strings versus, you know. And I said, you know, if you really can't say it in four strings, you probably shouldn't be saying it anyway. And I think a sonnet's the same way. If you can't say it in those lines, you probably are being verbose.
On top of that, the people that I know, the poets, they know I'm a 24/7 romantic. So, of course, Valentine's Day is just another day, to be honest. And
absolutely.
I think it's just to prompt the people who don't think enough about love to actually get out there and think about it for a change, you know. But to me, it's all a common thing now.
You know, I think that's
so concentrated.
Yeah, no, that makes so much sense. I think if you're someone who actually takes the act and the choice of love as something very seriously, or you take it seriously, then you don't necessarily need a, you know, quote unquote holiday to bash you over the head and remind you to do something. You're already doing it.
Well, why I take it seriously is because we used to be separated for such a long time.
Yeah.
2 years, you know, at a time. It's not, it's just so long. So therefore, I kept writing to just keep myself sane. Yes. And that's how I got into poetry, yeah.
Well, that is probably one of the best reasons I've ever heard for poetry.
Lovely getting on.
Titus, thank you so much. Really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Goodbye. And that was Titus calling all the way from the UK. Wow. Great work. All right. So that concludes our first segment. However, before we go and we start taking calls for the next segment, I'm going to give you 3 more clues into who our Poet of the Month for February 2017 World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month is. So last week, these were the clues. This poet has always punched above their weight in romance. 2, they might have been a poet, but was obsessed with the jewels. 3, so fancy they created glamour. Here are this week's clues. The Deputy of Selkirk, The Last Scottish Minstrel, and Knights in Waverley. Those are your clues for week 2 for the World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month, February 2017. Now, we're going into our next segment. I need 5 more unique callers to call in. We're not repeating anybody yet. This is so we can make sure everybody has time. It's 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
What's up, y'all? This is One Bad Monkey, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic. Yow!
And we're back for segment number 2 on this Valentine's weekend edition.
Yes.
Yes. Now, I will say that, you know, I really, that's one thing that I really enjoy about poets is the ability to see. I almost feel like seeing things in a poetic way is really seeing them, kind of the inner workings of life, right? I remember once I was working in film school at a photo shop or at a photography store.
Yeah.
Where we would still process, you know, photos and everything. And this woman had been out taking pictures at a lake behind her apartment complex, and she caught I think it was a peregrine coming out of the water, right? But it was so out of focus, and there was the silhouette. It actually ended up looking like an angel cresting out of the water. It was an incredible photo, and there was nothing doctored about it. It was something she brought in to have developed. And I remember thinking, you know, even though we know actually what that was,
right?
I feel like by slowing down things, by really trying to perceive the emotions in them and trying to express those, we're kind of actually finding out more about our existence and if we just watched it as a quote realist. So I think sometimes poets can be the ultimate realists, but that's just me. Now, before we get into this segment, which have 5 amazing poets, I'm so excited to have them. We need to do something special. I'm going to tell you a short story and then we're going to get into the segment. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. On the occasion of a Friday, under a starving moon, a solitary figure approaches, ascending to a cold, moonlit mountaintop. His feet, so nimble, flirt with a 1,000-foot drop as they cross the path to the mountain's peak. When he reaches his destination, he sits, furiously scribbling a message on the dirt. It will exist for a sacred and fleeting moment, only to be taken by the northern wind, wiped out of existence. This is impermanence in action, but he cares not, for he is the motion of the poetry. He is the spirit of all artists, the patron saint of letters. He is the haiku master.
He's a haiku master. Hi-ya!
There can only be one.
Never let someone say I haven't oversold you. never let someone say that.
Never will. Never will. Woo!
No pressure, my friend.
Okay.
No pressure. So what do you have for us? It's been a while since we've done this, so I'm excited.
I have two.
Okay.
One from me, and then one actually from my in-laws.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
So I'll read mine.
I like your in-laws, by the way.
They're wonderful people. I love them dearly. So, all right. So here we go.
All right.
Water flow issue. Replacement is the true fix. Two nuts are my bane.
Two nuts are my bane, too.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
And number two.
And number two from my wonderful in-laws. Level to the eye. No matter how hard you try, water will not lie.
Water will not lie. That's very, very true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I enjoy that. That's great. Well, here you have it. What can one say when you hear this but Haiku Master?
Oh boy, he's a Haiku Master!
There could only be one. So, I needed that. That was good. I'm excited. All right, now let's go. Let's restore some sanity back here.
Okay.
I know I've been a little bit crazy. Let's just go to the most natural place for this kind of thing. Lorraine. Lorraine, how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I sound like I'm hacking up a lung, but I'm actually in much better spirits than you would anticipate.
Well, I would anticipate you in great spirits.
So I'm even better than that.
We had a snow blizzard here. I don't know if you heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
I did. So how's it going?
I watched my husband shovel the driveway. Well, we have a snowblower. But he cleared the driveway. And then the plow came through the road and
blocked it right up.
And I loaded up all the beginnings of the driveways, you know, and I was very upset by that because I thought that all the work he put into it, you know.
Yeah. So what'd you do?
Well, I wrote a letter to our congressman.
Oh,
and
really?
It wasn't a nice one, but it wasn't a bad one. I mean, I don't curse or anything, but I wrote him a letter and I said that I thought it was very inconsiderate that he plowed up all the driveways that were shoveled. And I haven't heard back yet, but that was only today, so.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
I have a very good feeling. You will actually hear back from your congressman.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
So I'll vote for him.
Well, you'll get a response.
Well, I mean,
at least
if you think of it, it's not necessarily that. I mean, I know it sounds funny to get, you know, and it's very, very easy to be cynical about politics. But the thing to remember is that person works for you.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
are the whole reason why he
exactly.
has a job.
Exactly. And I put him in there in office, and I can take him out of office if I want to. I mean, if I get a whole bunch of neighbors together and we agree, you know.
Well, and I think, you know what, you'll have some options. I do think it's funny for a congressman to be out there, you know, plowing streets.
No, I don't. I don't want him to do it.
You don't want him to do it?
Did I ever do it? Oh, hell yeah. Hell
right,
yeah.
I'm totally playing around.
I mean, I lived in Syosset. Come on. You know, I mean, that we had a long driveway. We had a driveway from Jericho Turnpike all the way to Convent Road, and I loved it. And, you know, me and my girlfriend, Carol Ann, we got out there and we just played and threw snowballs and
shoveled. Just like what JT and I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
With snowball fights all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens. Anyhow,
Hey, Lorraine.
I love you guys. I'm going to read a long one. Well, it's not long. And then a short one if I get the chance later on.
Okay.
This is called, my doctor loves this because he's got a sailboat. And he sails on Huntington Harbor. And he absolutely loved this. He thought it was for him. And I said, yeah, sure, you know.
Of course
yeah,
it's for sure. You. Of course.
You know, of course I wrote it for you. I thought of you, I you know, and I wrote it for you. But it's called Love and Sailing. Okay. Love and sailing are the same. They start with fair weather, a friendly sun, the wind at your back, moving you effortlessly forward with the promise of good times until you find yourself in unfamiliar waters. The sun has set. The horizon is a distant blur. Maybe a storm is approaching. The air around you is changing. The sea becomes unpredictable, and then, with a sudden jolt, you're on the rocks. Now tell me that isn't love.
Sorry, Lorraine, I didn't...
We were waiting in
I'm
suspense.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I should have said end.
It's all right. I think I enjoyed that very much.
Do you sail?
Do I sail? Well, as much as one can sail in a landlocked state like Colorado.
In a landlocked state, yeah.
I will
yeah,
tell you, I have a teacher at the school where
oh,
I work
really?
Is actually the commodore of a very large sailing club, which I don't know how much prestige
I'm impressed.
That has. But
really?
Here's the thing. The whole reason she got elected was because I wrote her speech.
Oh, my God.
And you know how it started, Lorraine? And I'm not kidding. This is actually all real. The speech, yeah. Because I was being sarcastic when I was asked to write this because I thought it would be really funny to take things too seriously. So the speech starts with, from the dawn of time, man has sought. And it becomes this long Charlton, you know, Heston-esque
only you.
Monologue. Oh, and she got elected. And so today she even said something. I was like, hey, listen up, Commodore. Don't forget who put you in office.
She didn't even shake your hand?
Well, of course she shook my hand. It's probably why I got sick.
Okay. Because, I mean, that's important. That you know, you need some physical contact, and then you go your separate
ways.
No,
I'm good. I don't need random physical contact. You know, that was a decision I made a while ago. Yeah, I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good. I don't need random physical contact. That's dangerous.
Well, I'm glad you don't need random physical contact.
Random is a problem. Yeah.
Random is a problem. Yeah, well, obviously it's a problem. But I think that's the problem in the world. But in any event, I do wish you all the best of the rest of the night, and I hope that I can get to talk to you again.
Okay.
We hope so, too. We always enjoy it.
I love you guys, and I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good.
We'll talk to you then. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
So, JT, I know this is strange to bring up on the air. I'm just going to throw this out. You know what I just ordered?
Huh.
A copy of the Haiku Master Book.
What?
Which you can find on Amazon if you like that kind of thing.
You know what? You sure can. Yeah. And I know a couple of people who have them.
Yeah, I do as well. So it is The Haiku Master by J.T. Gunter, J-A-Y-T-E-E, as in T-ball. Gunter, G-U-N-T-E-R. No umlaut, just use a U.
Thank you.
So let's go all the way from Lorraine in New York, travel all the way around the world and back to New York to talk to Steve. Steve, how are you, my friend?
I am breathing in and breathing out, and in honor of the holiday, please accept my best wishes. May you enjoy your VD immensely.
that's part of how I enjoy Valentine's Day is to not enjoy VD. Yes.
And just so you know, Steve, I and my wife will be going to a wonderful German restaurant.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
In town. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
What's the name of that restaurant, though?
Helga's.
Helga's. And you've told me about this for years. It's
so good.
Great.
Oh.
All right. Well, maybe I will just...
Will you be having beef or Laden?
No. We'll be having the borscht for the soup. And then
okay.
I'll probably get a Wiener Schnitzel with Spatzel.
Naturally.
All right. All right.
I know, Steve.
Well, no, because I married a German woman, and I knew I was in trouble when her oldest brother first brought home the girl he married. The mother made beef roulade. When the second son brought home the girl he was going to marry, the mother made beef roulade. And when Maria brought me home, the mother said, "Ernst, go and pick up a pizza." True story.
Oh, that's a true story.
Yes.
That's great. That's great.
I should have known.
You should have known this whole time.
Well, if you want to make your Valentine's Day dinner even better after that dinner, I have a movie review for you.
Okay.
Okay.
The film Patterson. I don't know if you've heard about it.
No.
Is it Jim Jarmusch? The director is Jarmusch.
Okay.
It is a story that everyone in this listening to this show would love. The title character is a man named Patterson, who is a bus driver in Patterson, New Jersey, who is also a secret poet, who writes his verse during his lunch hour as he's waiting to take the bus off for the day. It is a slow and gentle meditation on the poetry of everyday life. I highly, highly recommend the movie Patterson. And it even has the dread moment of what happens when your notebook gets destroyed and all of your work disappears.
Yep. Yeah. I've seen
so
that.
So it is finally being shown outside of Manhattan and L.A., and making its way around to smaller cinemas around the country.
I just looked it up. It looks great. Adam Driver is in it.
Yeah.
Wow, that looks great, Steve.
The poetry that is written by Patterson is actually written by Ron Padgett.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
No, I'm not kidding. If I was kidding, I would say it was written by me.
Fair enough.
But anyway, this is a poetry and not a movie review program. I was going to read a new piece, but in honor of the theme of love, I'm going back to one of my old ones. This is entitled The Exotic in Great Neck. On aubergine satin sheets, in a room of secret suburban sin, the exotic sighs. While summer sunlight slants through the blinds, casting a russet glow on the polished hardwood floors, and an olive sheen upon her sweat-slicked skin, from which the scent of sandalwood arises. Hush, she says, hush, as she reaches across her lover's body, and turns her husband's picture to the wall. End of poem.
Wow. I enjoyed that. I love the read as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I've come to the realization that 40 years of camels have improved my ability to read a certain type of poetry.
Well, you know, that might be, but I think it has a lot to do also with the pacing and the way that you draw things. I've said many times on the show that I've completely stolen your reading style, and I appreciate you for introducing me to it.
I am honored. I am honored. Thank you again for a wonderful program and for everything you do. I will try to stay awake for the return engagement, but if I don't, thank you again and have a wonderful week.
Hey, we'll do. You too.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Steve. And that was Steve from New York, always bringing it. It's always an honor to have Steve call and share his work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I've realized more and more as I'm writing. So I'm JT, I think I mentioned this to you. I've been working on kind of a pretty serious poetic work, which is something I don't say very often because usually I'm writing songs.
Right.
But this is The Culinary Mass, which I will have in probably a few weeks to be able to share on the show. But one thing I've realized is with the poets who call in, and it's interesting when I'm sitting there writing, realizing I actually am so influenced by all of the poets who call in. Little bits of each one have kind of coalesced into some of the stuff I'm doing. And I find that so fascinating. I didn't realize it until I started writing it and really getting in. So I want to say thank you to all of you. You actually all inspire me as well. So speaking of someone who just really is authentic, 100% himself, unapologetically, thank God for that. It's Sinister, calling all the way from Missouri. Sinister, how are you, my friend?
It is what it is.
Yeah, how's it going? I understand. It's you know, I'm doing well too, but I agree. It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better than yesterday, but you
know. Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's better than yesterday. How about this? I'm gonna give you the stage, man. You read, we'll talk after.
I know. That's a double ending. I am the pinnacle of failure's glory. Loss of refinement and tenuance of throes. Beakers and laboratories reflect familiar glows. Reaffirm fact that I'm the lab rat, fate's testing. Once found stoic resolve and books of knowledge. Now the index cards are cliff notes to this carnage. Damage I have induced is beyond tragic. Taxed and late fees, unreturned costs, I merit. I'm devastated by the infinite urge to just die. Retarded euphemisms of faded psychoanalyzation. No longer do I ingest the market's highest trophy, void of buoy. None remain from the pharmacy counter. Alienated myself in derogatory rhetoric of self-loathing. No one can reach me. I'm buried in pointless cages. It's in this oblivion I infuse my false reasons. Momentary illusion, high, I am fiending. Shore up this pier, it's oceans, I'm not drowning. Blown out these deltas in which my misery was carried. Short of breath, I'm missing while veins are bleeding. Appendages unable, can no longer shoulder this burden. I'm afraid of these twisted visions I wildly comfort. Watching this life expire in various theatrical spasms. Whether suffocating in baggage or blood rain monsoons, I find too much twisted pleasure in my impending doom. Failure is in connecting to what holds value or meaning, pushing away the love to unfurl the heathen now breathing. Despicable incursions have me frothing vicious chatter, not allowing inside of the man, husband, lover, or father. I'm monster igniting fires of irrefutable wicked rage. Lost and disconnected, gone the welcoming of sanity's fray. Broken the gurney, fully disabled now, I'm imposed. Can't stand the venom running freely, poison seeps. I'm only a nightmare known should ever encounter. Quickly hand me an absolution that will end the atrocity. A loaded gun, sharpened blades, bagged nitrogen, expire in these. Take me from the shore so I can't destroy innocence cowardly. Wait no longer as the flames are powerful when churning. Salvation can only come without who I'm not. Left here to face you as the devil unlocked. In peace.
There's Sinister bringing the thunder again, man. I can always count on you to bring that high level of passion and intensity.
Yeah, it's I had to get it out, and it did what it needed to do. So
I get it, man. I get it for sure.
We appreciate you, man. Are you going to be calling during the return engagement?
Yeah, man, I'm calling.
All right, man. We're looking forward to it. We'll be doing that real soon, too, because I know some people you know, have to stay up real, real late, and maybe we'll kick into that soon. But stick
I'll
around,
keep
man.
Everybody tomorrow night. So.
All right. Sounds good, man. All right, buddy. Talk to you later. And that was Sinister, calling all the way from Missouri. But don't let the name of the state fool you.
That's right.
I don't think he's that miserable. Next up, Philip from KY, but don't let the name fool you. Never mind. From Kentucky. Let's go to Philip. Philip, how are you?
I am well, handsome man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
That's wonderful to hear. I think I did catch your cold, perhaps. I don't know.
Oh, did you?
Through the phone line somehow.
Man, it...
No, I just like blaming you, sir.
Oh, well, yeah, fair enough. I understand that. No, I ended up getting just nailed with, you know, I had the cold a couple weeks ago, and then it came back around and hit me again while we were watching the Super Bowl the other night. I was over here with JT and Christine, and knocked me out. I mean, I was laying in bed listening to Norse mythology. That's how bad it got.
Valhalla and all of that. Is that the correct Norse? Or
exactly. Yeah, no, I was laying there in bed coughing, you know, feeling like I was going to die, but thinking, man, I wish I had a hammer like that.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't think it's anything terribly serious, and I hope you're on the mend, by the way.
Oh,
are
I
you?
Am. I am definitely on the mend, yes. How about you?
Good. I think I'm out of it, yeah. It's just a chest cold. It's more of an annoyance. It just gets in the way. I can't write as much as I like to.
I understand.
But, you know, sometimes I need to take a break, and that's usually my body saying, you've done too much, you know.
Yep.
So
I know the feeling.
Yeah, so I take a little cough syrup and just, you know, sleep it off as best as I can. So it could be worse, my friend.
Oh, absolutely it can be.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And Mr. Haiku Master.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your shares tonight. I really appreciated them. Well, and from your family, your in-laws, no less. Is that correct?
Yes, my in-laws.
That's wonderful. I think that's marvelous that you guys can share that. That's just... Yeah. That's really great. That's just...
Apparently, they're trying to extort him now for a royalty check, which, you know.
Oh, that's what you get for, you know, giving him such a, you know, a big ego and giving him a big applause and
know,
all of that.
Right?
You know, the haiku master, there's just no stopping him. He's making bank on haiku. If anybody can actually make bank on haiku, I would be really impressed. That would be... there's just no money in poetry. I hate to say it, but, you know.
You know, yeah. I agree with that. And I actually think you're kind of like the Conor McGregor of haiku. You know, you're like, I want action. I am the reason this whole thing plays. I want action.
Yeah.
That was a bad
Irish
accent.
I delighted in them, so thank you. I truly... I will be quick. Since I was under the weather, I could play this off one of two ways. You know, I could say that... you know, that I'm really into Valentine's Day, which everybody knows is like they're muttering, you know, BS.
Yeah.
But actually, I want to read a short one because I am kind of under the weather, so I'm going to read a short one by none other than William Carlos Williams, which I do actually believe turned out to be actually quite appropriate for the upcoming Valentine's Day. And I don't know if this is apocryphal or not, but from what I understand of this little piece, just three very short stanzas that he left this on the refrigerator for his wife after eating something that was hers and, you know, that kind of thing, the married life. So here it goes. This is just to say, I have eaten the plums that were in the icebox and which... you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me, they were delicious, so sweet, and so cold. Simple, direct, bada boom, bada bing. And I'm sure his wife forgave him after leaving such a sweet note. And I can see a man doing that, a married man, you know, going, well, the wife's away, I'm peckish, I'm hungry, you know.
I think... you know, I do not profess to be a success in the world of long-term relationships, Philip. It might be a surprise to you, but I do not profess to be an expert in this. However, I was given some great advice once, and this was on my wedding day. An older man that I didn't really know
Mm-hmm. I think he'd wandered into the party somehow. There was a lot of goats there. Maybe he was a shepherd. I don't know. Anyway, he said, he comes over to me and goes, let me give you some advice. And of course, everybody's giving you advice. So, okay, cool.
Right.
And he says, the first time something goes wrong around the house, like a pipe needs fixing under the sink,
uh-huh.
he goes, insist on fixing it yourself and flood the kitchen.
Yep.
She will never ask you to fix anything again. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that.
There is.
And maybe that's why I'm alone.
You flooded the kitchen, didn't you?
That's pretty funny.
It's something. I think it makes sense. It's kind of like there are certain things you can do in life, like, you know, putting dishwashing soap in the dishwasher.
Oh, man.
Watch that.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. I found that one out before I was even a teenager.
Yeah, isn't that a great one?
Yeah, it's actually still kind of fun, you know. You just it makes a mess. Yeah.
That it does.
Hey, Philip, thank you so much for the read, and I hope we're going to hear from you during the return engagement.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
wonderful.
That's also to my fellow poets. Even if you're feeling under the weather, you better call in.
That's it. Don't be a wimp.
Don't be a wimp. That's
Don't
right.
Be a wimp, bro. Come on, call in.
Peer pressure from Philip and et al. You know, call in.
I'm all about the peer pressure on this thing. That's what this whole show is, really. You have to read a poem this week. Right?
Right?
Right? Yeah.
Cheers. I appreciate it, and I look forward to the return engagement.
Hey, cheers, Philip. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right. And that was Philip all the way from Kentucky, home of the intellectual. Now.
Okay.
Hey, don't laugh at that.
No.
I can be serious. There's some serious knowledge.
Yes, there
comes
is.
Comes out of Kentucky.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Strangely, they're most well known for the chicken.
Yeah.
You know, there's no team like the Kentucky Red Sox.
Wow.
You know?
Okay.
Hey, speaking of, was it Lewis from Kentucky? Remember Lewis?
Yeah, I don't think he was from Kentucky. I think he was.
I thought he was from Kentucky. We're going to have to go back and check that. I miss him calling.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he was great. All right, anyway, here's someone we love calling. They don't call as often as we like, but we're really happy when she does. Let's go to Lozan in British Columbia. Lozan, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, you're on the air now, and thank you for calling. How are you?
I am doing much better. Thank you so much.
Well, of course.
How are you guys doing? How is the weather there?
Oh, well, so for a change, we actually have the nice end of the stick here. It was, 78 degrees today?
Something like that, yeah.
Now, it's very nice when it's 78 degrees in February. However, I'm going to throw this out. I don't really like cold, snowy weather. JT loves it. But what I really don't like, actually, is the summers after we've had a winter where we're having 78 degree days. I love the summers after there's been snowfall.
Okay.
Summers when there hasn't been, there's a lot of forest fires and a lot of danger and things that happen.
Yeah.
It's really nice outside, although I'm aware very much of the consequences. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, and this is just the warm before the storm.
The warm before the storm. He's writing poetry and he doesn't even know it.
It's scary. I mean, sometimes bad weather is honestly not bad. It's pretty romantic to watch the bad weather from your window and you're cozy. But when you're stuck in it, you're stuck in an airport, you're in the traffic, it really sucks.
Yes. Yes, it does.
I have to tell you, though, you know, it is romantic to watch the to watch the weather, and it instantly when I'm watching it, I suddenly start going just really darkly introverted, and I start writing, you know, really dark pieces about, and I suddenly realized, you know, it's amazing to me that not everybody does that. It's so natural to me. It's amazing to me that not everybody just gets all, you know, starts writing and gets all intense about it, but that's just poets, I guess, for you.
We're very strange creatures.
We are, aren't we? We really are. Not only do we scribble things on a piece of paper that have words, that create words and create ideas, but we have to do it in ways that rhyme.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's the toughest one. My editor having the hardest time with the rhyming poems.
Oh, yes.
Because It has to sound musical. It has to sound like bum pa bum pa 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 bum pa bum pa pa, you know? And then good luck getting someone else to go in your brain and fix your poems. It's pretty tough.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So I know I was just telling Ivan on the chat line, you guys have them. Never mind the commercialized Valentine. Valentine should be about words, about poetry, songs.
That's what I think. That's
buying
I think so
chocolates
too.
And spending money.
Oh, come on. That's totally right. And I think it's when you really express it, if you have to express it by buying things, then it's then maybe someone's priorities are out of whack, either yours or the person who expects it.
Well, I would like to share one poem with you. I don't want to take much time, so we'll wait for the next one. I have another love poem. Are we allowed to give breakup poems later on, or does it only have to be a love poem?
Oh, no, you can do anything you want. There's
you can do a breakup later on. Yeah.
Of course.
Later on. Let's do it later on.
Okay.
So the poem I'd like to share is from my book, I Am No Hero, the one published with Silver Bow Publishing. This poem is called Natural Love. Can I share it with you tonight? Okay. It's called Natural Love. Pull me towards you, whisper my name. With your arms stretched out, signal that you want me near you. With your eyes, speak to me. Touch me all over, I long for you. Breathe your love, breathe your tenderness and serenity into my soul. I have no desire to compete with you. I do not wish to test your love. I will not question whether you love me more. There is no need to wonder because I already know us. As magnet pull magnet, so your lips pull mine. I see your eyes desiring me. I feel your gentle warmth on my body. Your touch, oh, your gentle touch, so tender, so loving, so kind. I want to be with you, rain or shine, day or night, good or bad, stormy or calm. I want to be with you, keep me. In your arms, I'm in peace. In your arms, I'm home. In your arms, I will live all my future years. In your arms is where I belong. End poem. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Very, very nice, Lausanne. Thank you.
I was about to read this poem to you guys, and my husband walked into the kitchen and was cooking, so I yelled, I was like, can you please get out so I can read a poem?
You're like, get out of the room, I'm going to read a love poem. Oh, I love it.
It was pretty funny. It was like that at a moment. I was like very angry. I was like, get out of here.
You're reading a love poem. Shut up. You're always ruining things for me. Get out of here. I love you so much. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Lausanne. Thank you for calling. We look forward to hearing your breakup piece.
Oh, absolutely. Well, wait for it. Okay, bye.
Wonderful. And that was Lausanne all the way from British Columbia. I don't know why I said it like that. That was kind of strange.
That was very strange, but okay.
I don't think anybody says British Columbia that way. Even
probably,
DJs.
Yeah, probably not.
They're probably not like, so-and-so, this is the voice of British Columbia. They don't say it like that.
No.
No one says, Vancouver is Fantasy Island. No one says that. But why not? Why couldn't it be? Why couldn't it be?
Probably because it's not really an island.
Well, technically, I mean, it's just classification. It's just sounds we make with our mouths to describe something.
Wow. Okay.
You're like, you're going to go there.
Never mind.
All right. Yeah. All right, Mike. What kind of breakfast cereal would you be if you could be a breakfast cereal? All right. All right. So I'm going to quickly revisit this. Our poetic form of the month is a dramatic monologue. Usually done in verse, but and actually, you know what I forgot to do was put that form down on the site last week.
Oh.
Bad me. I will fix that as we're going through this here. So give me a minute and you'll be able to check it out under Poetic Form of the Month on our main page at worldpoetryopenmic.net. Now, we've done two segments. I know it's kind of, you know, it's kind of late. They're on the eastern coast. There's people listening from all around the world. However, why don't we do this? I'd like to go to a return engagement. What do you think? And then that way people can call in. We can share more. Everybody still gets a spot.
Yep.
Everybody will get a spot.
Yep.
No one's going to lose. Let's just jump in. So 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Return engagement starts now.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Woo! And we're back. All right. Now, hey, JT, you know what you reminded me of earlier?
What?
We're not doing the show next week.
No, we are not.
That's crazy.
We are taking a week off.
We're taking a week off. And it was planned.
Yes.
You know?
It's on the calendar.
Yes, it is. So if you want to know if we're having a show or if we're not, just main page, scroll down. There's a calendar there. We update it all the time. You'll know when we're meeting to discuss the show.
Yeah.
You'll know when we're doing a show, when we're not. You can always keep up with what we're doing through that. So every time we update our show calendar, it just pops up there immediately. So it's actually really useful.
Yeah.
I'm kind of embarrassed how long it took us to figure out that was a great idea.
Yeah, same here. It's like, I'm so sorry that it took that long. I'm like, really? Yeah, we need to do something. Why can't we put it in a calendar?
Yes, it's kind of crazy, right?
So quick, too.
So, at any rate, we're here for the return engagement. Man, we have 10 callers.
10.
I'm psyched about this. I think it's going to be really, really good. Should we just jump right in? Let's do this.
Okay.
It's time for the Valentine's Day Massacre. Here we go.
What? Wait.
Well, that's a thing. It's a thing. It's also the name of the play I might go check out next Friday.
Oh.
Pandemic Theater Company, Denver, Colorado. But I'm actually saying that because... even if I didn't know, you know, the director and the writer for that thing, I remember going to see their fundraising play where they did, I think it was 20 2-minute plays within an hour and a half. And so they had the numbers on a string, one through 20, and the people in the audience would yell which one. They'd do it, and they'd say, all right, 15, go, and the whole scene would start, and it was so good.
Wow.
And I remember being struck that horror, and I don't mean, you know, gore or slasher stuff.
Yeah.
Real authentic horror suspense, you know, really had a place in theater. And if you ever get a chance coming out here in Denver, Colorado, go check out one of their plays if they're around, because one of the best parts about where they perform, is they don't have a backstage. So the characters, when they're not on stage, are roaming through the audience, sometimes standing right behind you, doing different effects, things like that. So there was one play where they would all breathe out at the same time.
Oh.
So you'd hear this kind of eerie effect. There was one point, and we'll get to the call in just a second, on a snowy, snowy night, me and the girl I was dating at the time went down to go to the play. Did I ever tell you about this, JT?
I think I mentioned it.
So we get there,
yeah,
and it turns out we're the only people who are going to be there. Just two of us, right?
All
right. And there's like, because it's a small theater. And because we knew how they treated people in the, you know, in the audience, the first thought was, oh, no. And it was. They were just all in on us the entire night. It was like a haunted house where you don't move. You're just sitting there. All right. Anyway, let's go directly to Lorraine in New York. Lorraine, welcome back.
Yes, I'm back.
I'm back. Yes.
I am so back. This is a New York verse. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And it's my first, I named it my first worst verse. Okay. Get the beat going with boom, chuck-a-luck-a-luck-a, boom, chuck-a-luck-a-luck-a. Ready? Ready. I want to lead. I want to breed. I want to make the whole world need another me, my family tree. A clone, a drone, facsimile. A big tall blonde with a magic wand to go here, there, and way beyond. Just ditch the seat, you gotta move. The only way to find your groove. Hit the sidewalk, skipping, panting. Passersby will hear you chanting. I'm infused, got energy flowing. Even my skeleton's glowing. see the pigeons, watch the cars. Two, I see the planet Mars. Hey, fool, don't mean candy bars. Point your brain up toward the stars. Super Nova Scotia's not. Here we're talking white and hot. Amen.
What?
That's the only thing I ever wrote. That's rap.
I think that's fantastic. What's up, Kanye?
Thank you.
All right. Lorraine, you got to make an album now. You know that, right? You got to be a rapper.
I got to make an album?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we got to get you some gold chains
first. I need help. I need Mike and you and you know, the other. Who's the other guy?
The other guy, his name's Steven. Steven Wilkerson.
Steven, Mike,
yes.
And you.
Now, Steven Wilkerson, and myself, and then there's a guy named Jack Kerouac, and he is an amazing writer, but he likes to wear mustaches and stuff. It's really strange.
Well, that's good. I do too.
Oh, do you? Well, that doesn't surprise me. All right, Lorraine.
I'll tell you.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week. Okay.
Okay.
No, 2 weeks.
Oh, two weeks, Lorraine.
Listen,
two weeks.
You have a great week,
Lorraine. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We're not going to be on the air next
2 weeks.
Week. Yeah, we're not going to be on the air next
okay.
week. Okay. Yeah.
I'll remember.
Okay.
Right. I'll remember.
Okay.
Okay.
2 weeks.
Have a good 2 weeks.
You too.
And I'll see you then.
All right. Okay. See you then.
Okay. All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Lorraine in New York. Good job, Steve Wilkerson. I really like how you're using those controls.
Oh, man.
Off to a good start. All right. Let's go to Titus in the UK. Staying up late?
No, he got up early.
Did he get up really? But getting up at like 2:30 a.m.?
It's going to merge. There it
is. Yeah, there it is. Hello, Titus. You're back on the air.
Yeah, I'm still up.
I was wondering, you must still be staying up because, I mean, getting up at 2:30 in the morning is pretty nuts.
Well, this morning I'm very lively. Last week I was virtually dead on my feet, really. Oh. It was very bad.
Oh, no.
Oh, but no. Anyway, I've got another sonnet here for you. It's called Muse of My Receiving. It's about telling my love about the poets who I love. And in a way, they've helped me to actually explain it. Or I put a period at the end in Victoria, in Mayfair. They've got these little... they're just railing little gaps, really, but that's period I put at the end of my sonnet. It's called a stucco sonnet. Muse of my receiving. One's muse finds the indemnity as vowed to heal the writer whom no conscience knows. Can insight best be prompted than be proud when asking for the right of thoughts compose? I've slept on reams to nurse that I've entailed the moment from the madness whilst that yet fragmenting nine muse themes, for they are veiled from what we would consider having met. It transforms the ideals for man's advance as though may be remembered, my sweetheart, to touch all nine contently through romance, like no man has before been known thou art, would gather them entirely for this rite. Together spoke the muse on views he'd write. For those with words remaining that we seek, their visit bless thy calling for each week. Nothing to compare with Lorraine's.
Sorry?
No, that was...
Nothing to compare with Lorraine's. It was fantastic, that one, Lorraine.
Yeah, it was very good. But no, we absolutely enjoyed yours as well. We always enjoy it. And,
yes, I think mine will redesign to the history books. I think in the next few years.
Well, I'm hoping you have a book coming out sometime soon. I know it's a labor of love and process. I definitely understand that, but I'm looking forward to it when it happens.
I cannot publish anything unless it's perfect in my mind. I can't just write and just compile a load of work together and say, here it is. But no, I have to be very, very thorough.
Well, that makes sense to me. I can appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Titus, once again, thank you. You always add so much to the show. And we, we of course, we'll stay in touch between now and then. But we hope to hear from you again in 2 weeks.
Okay, lovely. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Titus staying up
very, very late indeed in the UK for us. We're always so happy to have him. I say that a lot, but I mean it every time I say it. So
yeah,
that doesn't make it redundant, right?
No, you're being honest about it.
All right. Now let's go to the man. The man with the plan. The man with the salad-making hands. It's Jim, all the way from Pennsylvania. How are you?
Pretty good.
Well, good. I'm glad it's pretty good. Not all the way good. There's still room to grow.
Well, it's like Leslie in Princess Bride, and I'm mostly dead.
You know, I understand that, yeah. And, you know, when someone's totally dead, there's only, you know, a couple things. There's only one thing you can do.
Yeah, rifle through his pockets, look for loose change.
Exactly.
On Diane in the chat room, I mentioned the priest in The Princess Bride.
Yeah, the impressive clergyman.
It goes, marriage is what brings us together today.
Yes.
Love, true love. That's pretty much all I have.
I was going to say, are you going to do the whole thing? I might go make a sandwich or something. No. that's a... You know, it's the thing that's great, though, is I realized this, just like I talked about writing poetry, realizing that I was influenced here. I didn't realize until maybe about 10 years ago that my sense of humor, actually, as absurd as it gets sometimes, has been mostly informed by Wesley in The Princess Bride and Benedict in Much Ado About Nothing. Those two right there sum up my entire sense of humor. And I didn't realize it until later, but I think now that you know that, it'll make a lot more sense.
My sense of humor stretches over so many things. Monty Python, Doctor Who, Princess Bride, Mr. Bean.
And that's the downfall, my friend.
What? Mr. Bean?
Yes, Mr. Bean. Wow. You know, Mr. Bean is such an amazing character. I can't believe how much mileage they've gotten out of that, but it's worked. All right, so instead of sitting here being awkward, what do you got, Jim?
Got one that I wrote back in 2010.
Perfect.
Perverse Pleasure. 5 fathoms of Frederick cord coiled about his soul. The world's weight wielded upon his weary brow. Perversely pleasured by pain, tethers himself to the tortured tree, enduring for the joy set before him. End of poem.
Right, from 2010. Do you remember what inspired that one?
Well, it's kind of a take on Christ on the cross.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, it just went with the whole perverse. There was kind of a perverse, perversely pleasured by the pain that he had to go through.
Okay. Sure.
It was. The thought just popped into my head.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why I included a little bit of a Norse mythology in there.
No one really understands why Norse mythology shows up. Trust me. I didn't know this last week either.
It's the string that they actually use to hold the Frederick wolf, the Fenris wolf.
Yeah, right.
That nobody could break it.
Right. Right.
I mean, I don't even think Thor's hammer could break it.
Did he try to break it? I don't remember if he tried to break it, but you're right. It was the thing that eventually held him, but it was that ribbon that held him. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I know they put a dagger in the wolf's mouth so he wouldn't try and gnaw at it.
Yeah. Well, I really like that one, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was great. It was a cool perspective on that one.
All right. So, Jim, thanks so much, man. I hope you feel better this week. We'll, you know, I'm sure we'll be in touch here, but we will we'll be taking the week off, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, buddy. Talk to you soon. All right. Bye.
Bye.
And that was Jim all the way from Pennsylvania, thrown down with the poem from 2010. I like that perspective, though. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, I made a short film when I was in high school at one point. I remember kind of getting in trouble for it, even though for not any good reason, because it was pretty damn good. I don't know if I have a copy of it anymore. But it was telling the story of Christ in modern day. But I kind of had it, you know, and for some reason it really kind of made people upset. I don't know why.
Hmm.
That was good. I wanted to be controversial back in high school. You know how you do. All right. Let's go to New York. Let's talk to Steve. Steve, welcome.
Hello.
Round two. Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me again.
And thank you for staying up late. It's almost midnight there, isn't it?
It's closing in on it.
All
and
right.
Tomorrow is going to be a long day of proving to my wife once again that when it comes to being a house painter, I make one hell of a great attorney.
Well, good luck.
I can appreciate that. I tend to prove that when it comes to being, you know, insert handy title here, I'm good at being a musician. So I understand that.
I think most men in America can. There is a reason that there are professional house painters, and I never joined the union.
Yes.
It has been a really, really great show. And one of the things I've always loved about this program and that I have told people about is that you get such a variety of styles and a variety of voices and a variety of themes. And when you can go from Sinister to Titus, when you can go the whole gamut, we are so lucky for what you guys do, and I just want to make sure you know that.
Hey, thanks, Steve. That does mean a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. And on that note, I wasn't going to call in for the second round, but there was something that Dennis said in the chat rooms, which reminded me of an old piece of mine. And since I normally don't write love poems, seeing as how I am the Ebenezer Scrooge of love, I should go with the closest I've got. This piece is called I Still Recognized You. I saw you the other day on Vesey Street, and through the years, the gravity and the gravitas, I still recognized you. And that summer in the club when you reclined in tennis whites with long tan legs and perfect beads of sweat dangling from your breasts, peeking from the open collar of your Lacoste. Venus on a half shell for the crazed teenage busboys. I, the shy pale boy with Kerouac in my back pocket, brought you drinks to ease your needs. I was poetry where love means all, but you were tennis where love means nothing. End of piece.
Whoa. I really like that one.
Thank you for your kindness.
Oh, it's not kindness to react that strongly to it. I think I mentioned to JT after we muted it. I said, you know, it's interesting that I kind of seem to hold a lot of the same kind of points of view on certain things as you do, Steve, at least from what you say. You know, I hear it and recognize it. And definitely the Ebenezer Scrooge thing when it comes to love is definitely along my my lines as well.
Stuff.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, but hey,
You do the best you can. But no, I really appreciate
you
that.
You are my brother from another mother, in the words of the Nobel laureate Robert Zimmerman. Yes. Those who have suffered greatly have more in common than those whose lives are placidly content.
That is true. That is very true. Very true.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to hearing the wonderful voices that are coming up.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Oh. That was great. See you in 2 weeks.
My pleasure. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay.
And that was Steve all the way from New York. Man, I like his work, though. I really do.
It is really good.
Man. Now, you know, I do miss, we've had a lot of great poets. I want to say, though, I do miss Chris from Lansing calling in. You know, when people get busy, I get it. Always love to hear his work, though. It's kind of cool that, you know, week after week to hear what people decide to share. But instead, let's go to another poet. I always love hearing what he throws down. Once again, it's Sinister from Missouri.
Hi.
Hey there. How you doing?
I took myself off mute, so I'm doing
so, so it's going better now. All right, man.
I got a short one for you. It's real quick.
All right.
It's called Spread These Ashes. When the end of resolve is beyond broken, there out in the shimmer that devoured hope, I will intake its remedy. Willingly, I submit. For in the lofty conclusion on which I suffocate, so shall grandest quiet be found surreal. Too weary be the fight I no longer have or cherish. Failure's crown has weighted my gumption. I just now face what has long been truth. I am dark as sorrow, not meant to be exhumed. Spread these ashes into expulsionary tombs. And peace.
Wow, that's a low key Sinister. I really liked it though, man.
Yeah, it's that kind of piece, you know. It's just the other piece is a fight, and this one is kind of done.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just steps, you know. This is my medicine, you know. I need to get back into a regular doctor, but until then, I prescribe myself and. It gets me by.
So. Well,
is doing this, and tomorrow night is my premiere for Sanitarium Saturday. So anybody got time, talk to you, 9 o'clock Central Daylight Time. We open the mic until we fall on the faces. So.
Now, I got to say, though, Sinister, isn't that go on for like 48 hours with you, man? Like, until you're done, you're just going, right?
Yeah, usually if I've got the calls, I've got 3-4 hours.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. We know that feeling.
Good show I've had so far has been three to closing in on 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours.
Makes sense to me. Makes sense.
Well done.
If we got the people, you know, it's only 5 of us. I don't care. I can read for. Ever, and I just keep rotating it, you know. But I think it'll be really good. I think this switch up is going to be good. I had over 20 callers last Monday on the new switch. So
nice, man. Very nice.
I don't
know. All right. Well, hey, Sinister, best of luck, man, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right. No show next week. All right, guys.
That's
have
right.
a good one.
Hey, you too, Bye. Buddy. Bye. And that was Sinister all the way from Missouri. Is it better to say Missouri that way? Missouri.
Probably not a better way.
No, what's wrong with it? Is it just the deep voice or is it the weird pronunciation?
The weird pronunciation.
So I just say Missouri.
That's fine.
But Missouri, the Z, that part where I add the Z?
Yeah.
Missouri.
So. I don't know. I'm not from there. I know there's an enunciation for everything. And
you know, that's probably true. Because I could say Louisville. Kentucky, and that's, you know.
Right.
But that's not what we're talking about right now.
No.
We're going to go to British Columbia to Lausanne. Lausanne, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome back. It's been such a long time.
As you know, almost half hour. This is a very long time.
Very, very long time. So yeah. what do you have for us this time?
This is, it's a love poem, but you know, when there's a breakup,
there is still love in there. There is the grieving of the love.
Yes.
So even though it's not particularly happy ending love, but it's a breakup love poem.
Okay.
So this is a new one. The grammar might be all out of whack, but this is a new one that came to me, and I had to write it down. Of course, learning from other people breaking up and from my personal life, and I'm pretty sure some of you can relate. So this one is called Leave Me. I know it's a tough title. I can't come up with a better one, but listen up. Okay, here it is. Leave me. When you lay in your bed feeling cold as ice, as you hide under the sheets. When you turn your back to me, make sure our bodies don't touch. When you only use our beds to sleep, leave me. When you find it impossible to write love letters to me, when you find it unimportant to write loving words, except sign your name on a nicely worded anniversary card, Valentine's card, birthday card, or even Christmas card. Just so you say that you did something, leave me. When you remain silent while on a long drive with me, when it's uneasy for you to find anything to talk about with me for hours and hours, leave me. When cruel, sarcastic words flow naturally from your mouth in the presence of others, when you talk about how unhappy you are with me, when you belittle me in front of my friends, my family, when you can't say loving words about me, about us any longer, leave me. When you no longer feel good entering our house, when you do not look forward to seeing me, when you can't smile back when our eyes meet, leave me. When you find no joy looking at our old photos when we're in love, when you notice we no longer take photos together, when you do not see any beauty in me, leave me. When you cannot say I love you, when you cannot say I love you too when I say it, leave me. When you no longer have a reason to stay in love with me, when nothing I do brings you joy and nothing I do brings a smile to your face, when my absence from the house is the same as when I'm in it, leave me. When you find your mind preoccupied, making up lies, covering up truth you don't want me to know, when you speak unkindly to others about me, when you find yourself seeking love elsewhere, leave me, because if you don't, I will. End poem.
I really liked that. It was a very heartfelt one, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, for me, I write also from friends, people I know that actually are in what they call a toxic relationship, that they're staying there and staying there. I'm like, one of you have to make that mind. You know, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
There's so much love each one of them can give, but not to each other, right?
I think you're totally right, and one thing that I've noticed though too at the same time, Lausanne, is you have to be able to make the move, but then one of the other issues becomes when someone has seen the signs of it and becomes too good at making that move, it also can cause a problem. Yeah. It's something you don't want to get too good at.
No, it's a tough one. It's not for some people from the outside. They look at the couple and it's like, oh, you should do that. It's like, no, unless you're in it, you cannot just judge it. You never know how it is, but it's very tough. Yeah, everybody can just get up and go.
Yeah,
it's a tough one. It's still there's so much. I wanted to, what I'm trying to show here, that the person is speaking or the person is near the other end. There is so much love. I'm sure they can offer love, but not to this person. It's something like a plant and it's dying.
That's it.
So happy Valentine.
Happy Valentine to you as well. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on the show, guys. I really do appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. And we appreciate you as well. And thank you for all of your kind words and for your work. Thank you.
No worries. Bye-bye now.
Goodbye. And that was Lausanne from British Columbia. A great contributor to the show. We're always so happy when she calls in.
Yes.
Some great work. All right. Let's go to the next most
natural progression from British Columbia. Let's go down to Kentucky for Felipe. Philip, how are you?
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. I think that happens in Colorado just as much as Kentucky. I'm
yeah,
sure.
It does.
Yeah, I know this is like really not even intentional, but when I said that yee and haw, I wonder if that comes from gee and haw when you had horses, you know, right and left.
Probably.
Yee-haw, or that was maybe the command to stop. I don't know, or yee-haw. I'm making this up now. I have no idea.
I'm just going right now. No, I think you know what? I think you're right. And one thing that I was joking around about having a kick out of is I have a a hoodie that says Telluride, which is a very famous ski town here. The thing I love is the fact that I can wear that, and most people don't realize Telluride is a jammed together version of To Hell You Ride, which is
really?
Actually that's what they named the town after. So,
how about that?
Yeah, so I can wear that, in the middle of a Catholic school, To Hell You Ride, and no one bats an eye. And I just find that funny because I like to stick it to the man occasionally.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's really funny. And this, I guess, is also for Titus, very unintentionally, but mind your P's and Q's comes from mind your pints and quarts.
Exactly.
Don't get too drunk. Mind your P's and Q's. Well, how about that? Well, that was just a heck of a lot of unexpected fun, fellows.
I feel like we're just learning things left and right over here. Okay, what's
next? Let's just have a big hug, and I'm not even going to read now. I'm just so happy.
Just screw it. Let's shut the show down. We're good.
No. We're done. That's great. And before I read, very quickly, sir, I put you on the spot. Schnitke, did you get through it at all? Did you survive it? The bit that I sent you from YouTube
Week. I absolutely did get through it. Yeah, I played it on Saturday morning, and I really enjoyed it.
Like I said, I think he's an acquired taste, like something you might necessarily crave, but it's certainly not boring, at least I don't think.
Not. And when he shifts into kind of the atonal bits, though, as well, I think part of the, of course, the musical... my musical background, I'm actually like able to know what he's doing, which kind of makes it interesting for me as well. But it's I'm really thankful that you sent it to me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, good. It will please me to do so. And I also really appreciated his, I don't know if you would call it this, his various musical allusions, I think, to Beethoven, Mozart, to Tchaikovsky. I don't know if you've listened to it that closely. At least that's what I hear as an allusion to those masters in that particular piece, which I also really appreciate, that the conversation is very lively in each of those movements. And I can't remember which movement. I've obviously listened to it way too many times, sir. And I'm an amateur with music, but I do adore music.
I think all you need is to adore music. I think everything else just starts compounding on itself, and it kind of becomes a little unnecessary.
Absolutely. And I'm just an ape in the cage. I'm the beast that is soothed by it. So,
I'm the beef in the sandwich, proverbially.
That's right. Well, I'm going to mind my P's and Q's and get to it, then.
All right.
All right. Here we go. This is a little piece from Charles Simic. And this is called A Book Full of Pictures. And I've been rereading this one several times tonight, and I don't know. There's something about this one that I think really captures Simic quite well. I can hear the little boy talking through the man in this piece, and I really appreciate that. So, A Book Full of Pictures. Here we go. Father studied theology through the mail, and this was exam time. Mother knitted. I sat quietly with a book full of pictures. Night fell. My hands grew cold, touching the faces of dead kings and queens. There was a black raincoat in the upstairs bedroom, swaying from the ceiling. But what was it doing there? Mother's long needles made quick crosses. They were black, like the inside of my head just then. The pages I turned sounded like wings. The soul is a bird, he once said. In my book full of pictures, a battle raged. Lances and swords made a kind of wintry forest, with my heart spiked and bleeding in its branches. And there it is.
I really enjoyed that one.
Well, thank you. I cheers to Simic. I think he was exactly. Yeah. I think he was a laureate for America at one point.
I think so. Yeah, I think I remember that as well. But that's a great piece and a good read too. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael. Thank you so much. And I agree with Stephen, who is unofficially my lawyer. I have recently acquired his services. I agree with him. What you guys do, it's truly marvelous. I know it's a very selfless act, and it always makes me happy. I always look forward to Friday night. You know. Except for next week, of course, because you guys need a break, and I understand. But, you know, it does. It's a highlight of my week. It's something I do look forward to, and I kind of, you know, orient my week around. So it means the world to me. So just letting you guys know that. You're much loved. Hey, deal with it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And, you're so welcome, Michael. And thank you, Haiku Master, Mr. JT. So cheers. You guys have a wonderful week, and enjoy your Friday off next week. So.
We will do our best. I'm gonna go to a weird play, so I'm sure it'll be great.
Well, I enjoy. You'll have to give us some updates when you come back.
I'll have to do video updates and start posting them to social media. There you go. What I'll do.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye.
Bye. And that was Philip all the way from Kentucky. Now, you know, I do want to. I enjoy when people plug Steve. On the show. I think that's a great thing. And so I will say this. If I'm ever in New York and accused of a criminal act, I'm calling Steve. He may tell me to piss off. But
he
I'm
might.
And he'd be completely legitimate in doing so. And I don't think I'd blame him for a second. But I'd still call Steve. Anyway. Yeah. All right. So let's go from Kentucky all the way down to Florida. Hello, Diane. How are you?
Oh, is it me? Oops, I need to turn this down. Apologies.
Well, I have to tell you, you shouldn't be surprised if you're in a room by yourself that it is you.
No, I had the when I'm on the phone with you, I can't hear the radio. So I have another browser window. I have to turn that off.
Fair enough.
So apologies. I had a little background noise there.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. So here's my question. The squirrel with the alligator you mentioned, you sent me a picture of this. It's a raccoon on the crocodile.
It is. There is another picture of a squirrel on an alligator. But what that is, that alligator is actually an iron statue, I believe, in Disney.
Oh, I see.
Disney Park. And it is a real squirrel on it. The one with the raccoon is the one I was telling you about. That was actually, and I don't think you saw it, but I pasted right below your message to me. It's Snopes. And it's on there. It's a fake news. Okay. It's actually a stuffed raccoon that some lady got. I don't know what she did. Did she tape it to the alligator? I don't know.
And so, well, someone with a stuffed raccoon might be liable to do anything. I'm just going to be honest
with
you.
Exactly. But it went viral. And that's what I was telling you about. I keep looking at that orange alligator. They're saying that it may have gotten the color from a rusty pipe. But I don't know. They did say that it will shed that skin.
I kind of feel like when I see something like that, though, I kind of do think about guys like myself and JT. And someone's probably to blame. It's like, this thing was chasing me, man. I'm running around. And then JT's over there. He's chasing. He's spraying it with a spray bottle, trying to get it to run away. I feel like that story is somehow back there.
Yeah, that, or I always wonder, like, is there a nuclear reactor somewhere close by?
I always wonder that. That might explain the new arm that's growing out of the back of my head.
You have one of those too, eh?
Yes. It might come in quite handy. I'm slowly morphing into a character from Mortal Kombat. I'm getting really excited. I might not have eyes in the back of my head, but I have a hand that can slap you if you say something.
Okay.
Like, Michael, can you hand me that thing? Yep. And I don't even have to turn. Okay. Diane, you make this too easy. All right. What do you have for us?
Okay. This is a poem that I wrote this past week. And I apologize. It's a little bit long, but I think you'll enjoy it. It's called First Love at Valentine.
I say the same thing on Valentine's Day. Enjoy it.
Okay. First Love at Valentine. For an ambush, it was pretty inconspicuous. Forlorn, she walked among the flowers, hoping things would change, drooping in the white bar dress, trying to hide her tearful face from the cousin who had dragged her here. For a first dance, it was not at all what she dreamed of. but then she'd also not expected to be away from home and her friends, attending an unexpected family emergency in backwards small town USA. But here she was, dragged along unceremoniously by a cousin who could not seem to sit still, who would not take no for an answer, who seemed to giggle at every little thing, no matter how mundane or stupid it seemed. She felt awkward and out of place, not knowing anyone. Her dress was too short, the bar of heels too tight. In short, for a first dance, it was a pretty miserable experience. But then she met the boy. He was hiding out, too. Somehow, somewhere, it seemed as though fate had meant them to meet. He wore glasses and had found a small area where he was hunched over a book. When she saw the title of his book, she let out a small gasp and then stopped, appalled that she'd thrown her hiding place. He blushed, looked up at her, pushed his glasses back with his hand, then stood, as gentlemen did back then, and apologized for disturbing her. She blushed and stammered a bit, but then remarked that the book was one of her favorites, a new science fiction that her father had said would become a classic. Before she knew it, they were sitting together discussing things that mattered to them both, and what had started out as an awkward, silly evening soon bloomed into what would become a lifelong friendship. That was the first Valentine dance, with the boy who would be her first sweetheart. In all of the years that were to follow, the memory of the first kiss would make her smile, as did their friendship. Later, they communicated through correspondence, and as they each grew and moved out into the world, making and leaving their marks, she would never forget the night of the first kiss, the first Valentine dance. Now, here they were so many years later. She had buried her husband and a son killed in Iraq, weathered misfortune, raised her family, finally retired from a job well-loved, and so had he. There had been times and years when all they knew about each other were contained in the small type paragraphs penned on Christmas cards, and then there had been the few times when they had actually met again in person, usually with family in tow. But tonight was the first night they would meet again as they did the first time on Valentine's Day. She'd been surprised to receive the invitation, hadn't even realized he was now living in her city. And at first she had poo-pooed the idea of meeting again. Better at her great age that people remembered when she still had a decent figure, a face without lines. But her daughters had stepped in, had urged her to go, to get out of the mausoleum of a house that her home had become since her husband's death several years before. She wasn't sure if she would know him, wasn't sure exactly how they would match up. But it was simple what he said. Wear a red dress. I know you didn't wear one the first time we met, but in my mind, that's how I picture you. In Valentine red with beautiful eyes that ate everything I threw at you. So here she was herself, diminutive in old age, hair done just so, more nervous than the age of 13. But she found the perfect dress, gotten herself coiffed, sprayed on some perfume, and even tried to brighten her eyes with a bit of mascara. After her daughters rendered their verdict, she'd become aware of the butterflies in her stomach. But being old can also mean knowing control, so no one would have known from her face just how nervous she was. When she arrived at the hotel, the ballroom looked magnificent, but she felt so out of place, just like the first dance. But then she saw him, and it was like time had stood still for both of them. She didn't see the white hair, the large glasses. Instead, she saw the boy. And when they danced, the past merged with the future. He led, she followed, and the music was from their own time. A few glasses of champagne, and she was no longer sure what was floating, her, the air, or just love. Time can pass, can ease things, heat things up, but time can also mirror what has come before. And in a lovely old couple surrounded by crimson hearts, love can skip some beats and then some years to return us to a time when falling in love is as easy as tripping. And falling in love knows no season, does not care who embraces it, only that in the embrace, love can make one young again, at least in heart and in soul and in spirit. The end.
I really enjoyed that one. I liked that one.
Well, I'm glad.
Well, I'm glad you did.
I'm sort of like not with it tonight.
No,
please
it's okay.
Me. I'm tired.
Oh, no.
But I'm really enjoying the poetry. I cannot, I believe it was Steve who said, it just amazes me the incredible range of talent that we listen to every Friday night. And what I love is the fact that everybody is so very unique.
You know, that's the case. I mean, they really are. This is a show of large personalities, and I really appreciate that, actually.
Yeah, but I just need to let you know, because, I mean, I've taken part in some of these shows, but you guys really do have a unique setup here. I love the fact that we all talk and chat. We've also got the little chat room going on, too, and it's really nice and comfortable and a lot of fun.
I think so as well. I really enjoy it. And thank you so much for that compliment, though. It means a lot. All right.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. We'll talk to you later, Diane.
All right.
See you in 2 weeks. All right. That was Diane in Florida. That laugh. I love it. Speaking of great laughs, this is one of the all-time best laughs, I have to say. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. He's normally never on this late. Dennis, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Wow. Awesome. I'm so happy to have you. All right.
Yeah.
I'm not used to having you at the end. Yeah. I'm glad you did. So what do you have for us?
Well, I was so glad to hear Ellie back, and I thought I'd read one of her poems. It doesn't look like she stuck around for us, but maybe she'll hear this on the replay. I'd like to read one of her poems. Okay. The title is Lotus, and it's a quatern. It's an unrhymed quatern form, and it goes like this. Gently enfolded by your love, as the pond of life surrounds me, your fragrant petals hold me near to keep me safe from fear and pain. Dragonflies kiss, knows that I am gently enfolded by your love, as angels breathe their sweet song, floating on waters of your grace. Here, freedom is butterflies' wing, gossamer breezes, as I am gently enfolded by your love. Grace and joy fulfilling my soul, filtering rays of sun's caress, as dewdrops quench my thirsty soul. Gratefully, gracefully, that I am gently enfolded by your love. End of poem.
Wow. What a piece and what a read.
Yeah, that's from her book, Silent Song, and I appreciate her as a poet and a friend, and I'm glad I could share one of her poems in a cover like that.
That is beautiful.
I also want to echo my appreciation for all you do for the poets, the platform you provide, and I know there's a sacrifice that you are making to see it through, and I want to thank you so much for doing what you do. It is appreciated.
Hey, thank you so much, Dennis. It means a lot. It really does. Thank you.
Well, have a wonderful Valentine's Day, and let's keep it going all year long. Let the love continue.
Hey, I agree.
I agree.
Amen.
Yes. All right. Amen. Then, all right, I'll step aside and say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling all the way from Michigan.
See, you do it again.
You don't like...
It's just that weird pronunciation.
I totally do it. I totally do it, kind of on purpose. I got to be honest.
Oh, I'm sure you do it on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. Excuse me. All right, so let's head down to our last caller of the evening. Not our last poem of the evening, but our last caller of the evening, to Barbara in Connecticut. Barbara, are you there?
I am. I feel like I'm, dragging at the end of the train.
You know what they say, at least it's show business.
Yes, always. Oh, the last one is always the best.
Yeah, exactly. Last but not least.
Last but not least. And this one... I think you'll like. It's perfect for Valentine's Day, and since it's late, I'll skip all the little doodads about my day in my life
and start in with the poem. Nothing really exciting happened this week anyway, so it was just one of those weeks. But anyway, it's called, and it's based on a painting called The Crimson Red Dress by Richard Blunt. And if you go to my page or the Garden of Poetry and Prose, you can see the painting. It's really, or you can look it up. You have to really see it to understand it. Anyway, it's called Dancing in a Crimson Red Dress. She knew at the moment she was pressed close to her lover's front, body parts flush against his chest, his arm around her waist, her hand in his, a position she would never want to change. When they moved to the music, she forgot she was wearing her crimson red dress, for which she had saved for weeks, giving up lunch and eating only canned soup for dinner to save the money. She'd found it last week, spotted it, and grabbed it, praying it would fit her. She had wanted red because it was her color, and now she found the dress not in scarlet or in ruby. This was crimson like blood or the look of ripe lips wet with lipstick. She needed this dress. Now as he held her in a tight embrace, his feet moved slowly and she followed, thighs touching as they maneuvered around the floor. The crimson red dress supple over her curves created her mood, for she danced above the floor on her own cloud. And she could see his eyes were closed as they moved, almost as one body, in a large circle, covering the entire floor, until she could feel his enjoyment as well. The soft sensuous satin of her dress caressed his hand as he moved, and she felt the warmth of his fingertips pressing her closer as she moved to fit his body. The tango was the dance of love, and they had come to dance, not speaking or needing to speak, for the music and the movement said it all. She remembered the night they decided they would go dancing, something different to shake up their lives. He said he knew the perfect place, and they agreed to meet there to rekindle the broken pieces of their failed love. She, not thinking this would work, and yet buying the crimson red dress in the last effort for change. His eyes, when he saw her, told her this was right, and he had held her for the first time in weeks like a lover. Perhaps dancing would bring them back together. Now, as she looked into his eyes, she saw the spark she had seen so long ago when it was all new, beginning to ignite. She pressed closer to him. They tangoed around the floor as if they were molded to each other, the dress and the music creating a magic moment for each of them. End poem.
I thought for a moment that we were in the After Dark segment. But,
no, it could have gotten that way, but it didn't. Really.
It didn't. Yeah, that's right. It absolutely didn't go that way. I enjoyed that, though. That was very good.
Thank you.
And I know you called in later, and so I you know, it's so funny to have you at the end of the show suddenly show up, but I'm really glad you made it.
Yeah, well, what happened is this is what happened, really. My daughters and I always watch this one show together, and they wanted to watch it, and we hadn't had a chance to watch it, and so we did. We're like watching it on Apple TV, so you can watch it at any time, and so we decided to watch it, and I was just going to watch one show, but we ended up watching a second one, so we watched two episodes, and that's why I was late.
Oh, it's no problem. I understand. Absolutely.
It's Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. You really should see it.
You think
it's
so?
It's marvelous.
I don't really have any crazy ex-girlfriends.
This is...
I'm making a face right now, by the way. I'm totally making a face.
This is not just a show. It has music in it. I think you'd love it, Michael. Really, it's like a musical in a show.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw this out. I hate 98% of musicals, except for High School Musical, because that is fantastic. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, I'll geez.
You should definitely check it out if you can. It's really good. It's on, I don't know what channel it's on, but it's really, really good.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Well, since we're plugging it, it's on the CW, if anybody's got
it's,
the channel.
Oh, it's on CW?
It's on CW.
On CW. Well, then that's it. See, we do it on Apple, so I never really catch that, but it's great. We started watching it one time just for fun and then really got into it. And it's just so good. Everyone sings.
Well,
everyone. I mean, everyone in the show.
Well, that is that's
people
fantastic.
You wouldn't think would sing are singing. So it's just marvelous.
All right. Well, I'll have to take a look as soon as I get done with my current fascination with Downton Abbey.
Oh yeah. Well, at least I don't know. I didn't get in. I got into it, then I got out of it. I don't know.
That's what happens.
But I can just say that. Watching it on Apple is really good because no commercials. That's the best. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
Very, very cool. Barbara, yeah, thank you.
It was wonderful getting on the show, and I just want to say happy Valentine's Day to everybody. And that, I guess that was my Valentine's poem. And I also want to tell you that I always have this argument with my daughters about why I come to the show. And I tell them, it's like, I do it all the time. And they say, but why? I say, because I like it. I just like it.
What do they say to that?
It makes me feel good, you know? It just makes me feel good to come, be with my friends, know that people are always listening to poetry and talking about poetry and thinking about poetry. And there's very few places in your life where there is this much attention to what you love to do best.
Well,
so,
I thank you for coming. That means a lot. That means a lot. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll come, you know, I'll always be here when you're there, you know, and you just make it so welcoming for us. And, you know, and I invited my friend. She stayed a few minutes, but I guess she had to leave. But hoping she'll come back next week.
Hopefully.
And I'll try to be there, I mean, the following week.
Okay. Sounds yep. great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And take care. Have a great week.
Hey, you too.
Okay.
We'll talk to you in two
All
weeks'
right.
time. Okay.
2 weeks.
All right.
See you in 2 weeks. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara. Calling all the way from Connecticut. Now, we only have about 9 listeners left over. But I think I should share something. What do you think? Read a poem?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I didn't write this one. But I like this one. And it's not incredibly short, but it's not incredibly long. And I just invite you to...
Is it a Goldilocks?
No. But just listen.
Like this.
It's called Instructions. It's Goldilocks. I love that one. That was good. Instructions. Touch the wooden gate in the wall you never saw before. Say please before you open the latch. Go through. Walk down the path. The red metal imp hangs from the green painted front door as a knocker. Do not touch it. It will bite your fingers. Walk through the house. Take nothing. Eat nothing. However, if any creature tells you that it hungers, feed it. If it tells you that it's dirty, clean it. If it cries to you that it hurts, if you can, ease its pain. From the back garden, you'll be able to see the wild wood. The deep well you walk past leads to winter's realm. There is another land at the bottom of it. If you turn around here, you can walk back. Safely, you'll lose no face. It will think no less of you. Once through the garden, you'll be in the wood. The trees are old. Eyes peer from the undergrowth. Beneath a twisted oak sits an old woman. She may ask for something. Give it to her. She will point the way to the castle. Inside it are 3 princesses. Do not trust the youngest. Walk on.
In the clearing beyond the castle, the 12 months sit about a fire, warming their feet, exchanging tales. They may do favors for you, if you're polite. You may pick strawberries in December's frost. Trust the wolves, but do not tell them where you are going. The river can be crossed by the ferry. The ferryman will take you. The answer to his question is this. If he hands the oar to his passenger, he will be free to leave the boat. Only tell him this from a safe distance. If an eagle gives you a feather, keep it safe. Remember that giants sleep too soundly, that witches are often betrayed by their appetite. Dragons have one soft spot, somewhere, always. Hearts can be well hidden, and you betray them with your tongue. Do not be jealous of your sister. Know that diamonds and roses are as uncomfortable when they tumble from one's lips as toads and frogs, colder too and sharper, and they cut. Remember your name. Do not lose hope. What you seek will be found. Trust ghosts. Trust those that you have helped to help you in their turn. Trust dreams. Trust your heart and trust your story. And when you come back, return the way you came. Favors will be returned, debts will be repaid. Do not forget your manners, and do not look back. Ride the wise eagle, you shall not fall. Ride the silver fish, you shall not drown. Ride the gray wolf, hold tightly to his fur. There is a worm at the heart of the tower, that's why it will not stand. When you reach the little house, the place your journey started, you will recognize it, although it will seem much smaller than you remember. Walk up the path and through the garden gate you never saw before but once. And then go home, or make a home, and rest. And that's called Instructions, and it's by one of my favorite authors, Neil Gaiman. And that is how we're going to close this evening. So, from myself, from JT, from Christine, from Ursa, from Novia, from all of the animals here, including myself. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And it's been a pleasure. Good night.